Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade Mornings for Toyota. Certainty is a great feeling. Search Toyota Certified. And for Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. A trade news update for Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service. Mobile plans from $20.
Welcome back to Trade Mornings. Lovely to have your company. It's very nice to introduce a man that has come in a little bit early, which we like to see. We speak about dedication and we speak about going that extra yard throughout the football season, let alone the Tuesday.
Do you reckon Ross Lyon rubbed off on him?
Alone the Tuesday morning beach after the grand final. So here he is. We've got Mitch Cleary in studio for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59. Good morning to you, Mitch. Lovely to see you.
Good morning, boys.
I'm going to head you straight to RSEA Park, Moorabbin.
Yes.
And let's talk about a couple of the Saints boys.
Yeah, so five players out of contract right now. I reckon their list is really interesting where it sits right now. Last year, we know they attacked and went for McKernan, Frawley, Crouch, Higgins. They went all in to sort of see where they could sit. I think this year, they're going more to the draft and looking.
Changed quickly, didn't it?
It did.
Don't gloss over that.
It did, VJ.
So everyone could see what they were trying to achieve, where they thought they were at with those recruitments last year, that they were in the window.
Now, why are you looking at me like you're yelling at me about it?
No. You've got the inside word. Is that true?
Not true.
And then things didn't go to plan this year. Then all of a sudden, Bassett comes out and says, oh, we think we're 2 or 3 years away.
Yeah.
So the landscape's changed a hell of a lot in the space of, when was that, like 16 weeks into the season?
Yeah, probably halfway through the season.
So now the whole list management plan has changed,
yep.
Right?
So Frawley, McKernan, they would argue were backup options on 1 year shorts, pretty small deals. But it shows to me that, I think they were thinking they were a little bit closer than what they were. Missed the finals this year. They're pretty keen to see what they can do and bounce back. And backing these guys that missed a lot of footy. Gresham, Marshall missed a lot of footy this year. Ben Patton.
Gresham's so important. I know his intention to get through the midfield, but he started to show enough fitness-wise.
Yeah.
General reports, work ethic, a wave. Pre-season, all that kind of thing, fitness-wise, hasn't been great.
It needed to improve.
Got it to a point, but he adds so much, like, what they need for that midfield, because for me, that is too much like for like.
Yeah.
From all reports, similar. The time that he spent in rehab with Ben Patton has done him the world of good.
Yeah. Okay. So he is so important to that midfield mix and what he offers.
Yep.
And that's why they've sort of fallen away and parted ways with Luke Dunstan, because that midfield was so one-paced, and Brett Ratten spoke about it a lot this year, that when they went Ross, Bytel, they couldn't play them all in the same midfield, yep. And Gresham is huge for that. So a couple of players that interest me right now. Dean Kent hasn't been offered a contract. He's been told he has to wait. And then Jack Loney also. He signed a one-year deal this time last year, with a trigger for a second for 2022. He played 11 of the first 12 games this year, and he just went missing in the second half of the year. They didn't pick him. He's missed that trigger. He's now been told he has to wait until the end of trade period to see what they bring in. So there are a couple of guys.
Interest anywhere else?
Not in a significant way.
Well, 2 years ago, Jack Loney had an opportunity to go to the Blues, I reckon, off the top of my head, and knocked it back and stayed at the Saints.
Okay. They were looking around at that time,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, looking for the small forward.
Dan Butler was around that sort of same window.
Yep. Just for clarity, and I think this is really important for us to understand at different stages. So you just named Dean Ken and Jack Loney as two players that have to wait.
Yeah.
Clarify what that means and what the options are for the club to ultimately make a decision on those two players.
Yeah, so right now they don't have a contract offer to play for 2022. The club has said, we need to see what our checks and balances look like at the end of trade period. If a small forward comes on the market and they go and get that player, or they see that what they can do in the draft and identify someone, then you'd think Jack Loney falls out. But if it falls his way and there's a spot there and they think that they could do with another small forward at the end of trade period and nothing else comes in, then maybe they look at an offer for Jack Loney. But they've essentially told him, go and explore the market. If you can find a deal elsewhere, feel free, walk out.
And when is that cutoff? When does the club have to ultimately make a decision to let these players know one way or the other?
So the contracts run until October 31. Delisted free agency starts sort of first week of November. So they can...
So they've got a month.
They've got a bit of time up their sleeve. Trade period runs until October 13. So there's a window there about 2 weeks from the end of trade period to when they need to make their final call on their primary listed players.
That's a tough spot for a player to be in. Yeah. Sitting, playing the waiting game, uncertainty future. And you allude to the fact that in this case, Loney's manager will be out there checking out feelers, see if there's any interest. But it's a really, just put it in perspective for players, it's a tough position mentally to be in.
Do you think that, I'm with you, Beach, completely agree, and that's why this industry is unique. It's not like many others that you try and relate to. Well, you're sitting at your desk, you know, doing a traditional 9-to-5 job. This is a little bit unusual, but which makes it, you know, intriguing and good in its own right. So the Saints are changing tact, is your understanding, and probably rightly so. They brought in a couple of those fill-in sort of roles last year.
Yep.
They probably needed them more than that. They probably would have ideally liked to. But the Saints are only currently holding picks 946 and 64, as it currently stands, going into this year's national draft. Do you think they need to move up and find some more opportunities to get some kids into the club?
Yeah, I think they're looking for one more pick between 20 and 40 in that bracket. So they don't have that second rounder right now. We've written a story on afl.com.au for this morning that they're keen to get one extra pick. Now, we reported yesterday about Ben Long. He's contracted for one more year at the Saints. Could still well stay, but I think there's clubs sort of making inquiries as to where he sits.
Where's the Saints sit, do you know?
I think they're open to trading him if something comes up for him.
We spoke about it earlier, so it's good to...
Yeah, they're keen to see if there was to be a suitor, but he's contracted, so he could easily walk back through to the
door. Difficult question, but what would Ben Long be worth on the open market in regards to a trade? If they're trying to find somewhere in that second roundish sort of area,
I would say probably third rounder, the 40s, late 40s maybe.
And is that enough for the Saints? Would that entice them to say, yeah, that's worth it, or is that too high for where they currently sit?
I'm not exactly sure how much they would value him as being, but he's a fringe player and was in and out of their best 22 this year. He started the year in defence, then actually played forward to finish the season, Ben Long. So I don't think they'd be asking for the world, but they're not just going to let him walk out for nothing. The other one is Josh Battle. Now, his name came up in bits and pieces at a few clubs. He's been pushed out of defence because Tom Highmore's come in, and he's been pushed out of the attack because Cooper Sharman has come in and shown a bit. Battle was injured to finish the season, but just where he sits, and I spoke to Brett Ratton even a couple of weeks ago, that they're sort of hoping to nail him down in one spot. Mm. Where that is, we're not sure. I think Battle is most likely to stay, but his name has come up around the trade talks a little bit.
Just when you mentioned that, it just triggered something in a memory. That was a little bit like you when you were a bit younger, that you played a little bit of everywhere, but probably struggled to cement that position because it's a compliment, but then it's a bit of a hindrance that you say, well, I can sort of play all these roles.
And that's
coach.
What Rat said. It's his flexibility can be his weakness and his strength.
It actually catches you out. Because is that right, Beach, from memory, that you were in that position early on? Take us inside the player's mindset. If you're Josh Battle,
respectfully, Josh, I offered a bit more than Josh.
You what?
I was offering a bit more
than
Josh.
No, you weren't. No, I can clarify
that. So I had the
that.
Flexibility. Josh got the flexibility that I had, but I think I was offering a bit more.
He's a better runner and a better bloke. But anyway, talk us through that feeling that you can play multiple roles, but you need to have that position that's cemented to have some stability in your own game.
What I found best way to deal with it was, one, talking to mainly the coaches of where I sit. So, they'd get an idea of, by the sounds of it, they know where each other are at. Josh Ratton had conversations, mate. You were struggling to find it's a strength. Yeah. So just to go with the plan, and then if that is the case and the coach says we want you to be flexible, which is essentially what happened, to use your greatest strength and to learn how to deal with it, learn how to be flexible, learn different positions, do it and become great at it.
Mm.
And that's your strength. So really utilize it and work on it.
It's a good point.
That's what clubs do right now. So other list managers at all the other clubs look at think, well, this guy's on the fringe. Can Josh Battle be 25th in line at St Kilda? Can he come in and be our 15th, in line? That's what list managers are doing right now. It doesn't mean he's going to go, but the conversations are being had.
Very good. All right, let's talk more about this after the break. This is Trade Mornings for Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. We're with Mitch Cleary.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires. When everything counts, count on Continental. Trade Mornings for Toyota. Receive added value when you trade in your car for a Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle. And for Host Plus. Proud supporters of Trade Radio. Host Plus, the official superannuation partner of the AFL.
Investment there.
Welcome back to Trade Radio. Just having a little bit of fun in the studio. Poor radio, but it is the replay of the longest kick from grand final day. And
what did you make of Dal's left foot barrel to send BJ?
Dal just explained it. He's like, I felt like, my leg didn't go very high. And then I watched a replay and there's no flexibility. And I was like, maybe that's just the way you feel because you haven't kicked the footy. And I just watched it.
It's shocking, isn't it?
And it didn't get past waist height.
50.2 metres, equal leader at the moment with Brad Johnson, and clearly beat Joey Montagna. So job was done.
Was return on investment. You got the best out of that. That's maximised that.
Mitch, there's something about athletes, and I'm not just saying that it's only athletes, that you always think that you can do something. It's a challenge mindset. You're like, hey, I can achieve that. And off the back of
BJ's eyes haven't moved off the screen in here.
You know what he's thinking. I could do that. And off the back of Saturday night's game, you're like, oh, could I still play a game of AFL? Would I be able to get a kick? Then you have moments.
No one else yes, is thinking that.
But then you have moments and you see yourself doing something physical and you're like, oh my God, I am so far past being able to do anything that the modern player is doing.
But how were you first year out of the game, in all seriousness?
Worse than I ever was while I was playing.
Okay.
Sorer.
Yeah, I didn't do a hell of a
mentally
lot of training.
I was okay.
Yeah. I played. They'll played a few games. I played. I would say two thirds of this, not even. I played VAFA footy, but I didn't do much for the first 4 or 5 months, and then chose to play footy, so I was playing catch up.
Didn't do much for your last couple of years either.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's totally different because we're not getting like my hips being as worse as it has, whatever, and I'm not doing activity. But it's like you don't get the physio. You're not doing the strength work. There's a number of things that.
Yeah,
contribute to you feeling bad. Whereas I felt like if I was still playing footy, I felt like I could have kept playing for 2 years. But that's because you're doing the work. Whereas you go away, retire, you don't do anything, and then you end up feeling worse.
You're listening to Trade Mornings for Toyota. Certainty is a great feeling. Search Toyota Certified. We're here with Mitch Cleary. Mitch, let's move to Tim English, who's been spoken about, sort of came out of nowhere would be my take on this. In the last few days, what's his current situation?
So contracted for 2022. Just before we move on to and get into the Tim English situation, have a look at some of these names at the Dogs who are out of contract in 22. They've got some stars.
So the end of next year?
End of next year. Yes. They're going to have to be busy this off-season looking at a few of these names. So Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniel, Josh Dunkley, Tim English, Jason Johannesson, Bailey Smith is out of contract as well, Jackson McRae, Toby McLean. So they've got some...
Jeez,
they've got a lot of
huge names.
Yeah, a lot of work to do this off-season.
So Josh Dunkley has reportedly in conversation for signing an extension. Is that right?
Yes.
Which is fantastic news.
12 months ago, he wanted out. Now the Adam Treloar arrival has changed his mind completely.
Is that really true? Yeah. Are they thick as thieves, those two?
Yep. They hit it off within 3 or 4 weeks and became best mates, and that's all they talk. The only two players they talk to at the footy club now.
So they've excluded everybody else, have they, those two?
They're like Goose and Bawley from our day.
Okay, so there's a lot of work to be done there. Do you sit here right now, and without fast-forwarding too far, but is there a threat that they can't hold all of those players? Is there a financial issue that will be caused off the back of so many of those good players, all Australians, some of them premiership players? Who knows what happens this time next year in regards for them pushing again? Does that create some... headaches?
Potentially, especially when Jamara Ugle-Hagan comes in. The top teams aren't expecting to get number one pick, and then Sam Darcy comes in as a number three pick. Those guys are going to have to be paid in the next 3 or 4 years as top end picks. So the kids
do they?
But the kids now, BJ, when you're into your third, so the first 2 years of your contract are locked in when you get drafted. But third and fourth year kids are asking for $300,000 or $400,000 straight up.
That's why I'm laughing, because it's crazy.
But some of them you need to pay that amount of money for.
Yeah,
or you.
Don't you? Because you need to hold them at your football club. You want to back them in to be the player that you've drafted them for.
Ben King would be the highest third year player in history this year at Gold Coast.
Sevens.
Yeah.
Good on him. I've got no issue with
that.
No, it's
just how the landscape's changed so much. When you said you have to pay, like, you don't necessarily have to pay. It's just that's the expectation.
But you do have to pay. You do have to pay, Beach.
A set.
You do have to pay because someone will pay it. So if your club isn't going to pay it, then someone else will. So your club does have to pay those sort of numbers.
Don't forget the salary cap's changed a bit with the climate of the AFL.
Of course it has.
Yep. So but I think can teams afford to do that in the next year or two?
So that's what I'm saying with the Dogs, given they're still contending, but they're getting these good kids in, something's going to have to give at some stage. Now, the one positive the Dogs have got is Marcus Bontempelli signed a 4-year deal when he could easily have signed a 6 or 7 year deal as a free agent this year. So that works in their favour. They've got a couple other guys like Mitch Wallace and a few of these that are going to have to take unders if they want to stay. Even if they stay, they might depart some of those guys. So I don't think there's a massive squeeze on the Dogs, but it might hit them at some point. Tim English and Aaron Norton, two WA guys, are going to be talked about a lot. Now, Tim English, his girlfriend plays netball in Queensland. She's requested a move back to play for West Coast Fever in the netball. The question marks instantly come around that. Will he want to go back to WA? The Eagles is the one with Nick Nat getting on. What do they do in their forward ruck department? He's saying he wants to stay at the Dogs, Tim English, for 2022. But where do you guys see him? Because he hasn't been able to hold down the number one ruck positions. They had to bring Stephen Martin in this year. And then even when Martin was injured, English was still playing as a forward ruck and they had Lewis Young rucking.
I like Tim English. I heard David King speak about, they need to make a decision. Luke Beveridge needs to say and make a call right now about where his future lies, being Tim English. Oh, I was a bit surprised. I thought it was a bit instant. Have we got some audio of that? Perfect. Okay. So here's Kingy yesterday morning speaking on Tim English.
English is a problem I've known about for a while as a ruckman, okay? But I've watched the Geelong Football Club meander along for 8 to 10 years without a ruckman. So you've got to make a call. Luke Beveridge has got to make a call here. Is this the guy? Because what he did in the ruck was uncompetitive. At the biggest stakes in a grand final, this 5-minute burst that was ruining the game. Are you going to put up? Are you going to live with that? Are you going to put up with that? Because I think you've got to make a call. And okay, they go and get Steph Martin at the back end of last year, but that's a short-term fix. That's not a long-term solution. So do you need to look at this? Is he one name you can throw up for trade? They've got to get better in this area. He's not going to get much better as what you're seeing now. He's a known product now in the ruck. And teams are lining up to attack and go hard and try and challenge those at ground level without the extra number at centre bounce. You don't get that luxury, so tactically you can't really change much. There's big problems for the Dogs here. They know it now. They've seen it on the biggest stage. They must act.
That's David King speaking yesterday morning about Tim English and the decision that Luke Beveridge and the coaching staff and the list management have in front of them regarding their number 1/number 2 ruckman. What are your thoughts? I reckon it's pretty bold by Kingy. I don't agree with it. Where do you see it, Beach?
Definitely starts conversation though, doesn't it? I don't think we've seen like the best of him. He's suggesting in his opinion that he's a known product.
Yeah.
Guess what he's saying is what you're seeing now is what you're going to get. And I think the only people that really know that is maybe the Bulldogs. So the question mark, I think as we all know, if a ruckman doesn't have that real dogged competitiveness, they will get found out. So is there a question mark over that? Oh, he's still young in the whole scheme. Like he's 24. So there comes a point in time in players' careers. I think maybe this is the time that he's seen against the best ruckman in the biggest moments in a grand final that, mate, I need to get better. I need to find it. I need to find that edge to be competitive and be the player that, you know, I can be, all that kind of thing. So do the Bulldogs, I agree in a sense that Kingy, do the Bulldogs have question marks over just him having that real competitive edge? Because that's hard to teach, right? If you don't genuinely have that and you're not kind of developed in your young age, you can't find it when you get to AFL.
Well, he missed 4 games earlier this year through concussion. It was that game in round 3 in Canberra against the Giants. He got knocked out in the last moments. It was also the game that Josh Dunkley did his shoulder. I like Tim English. I think we're quick to move on ruckman at times. Like, this is a young man still learning his craft. And I do agree with you, Beach. There's a non-negotiable for all players, and that's to have a competitive hard edge when it's needed. Ruckman maybe more than anybody. He was poor. He got shown up on the biggest stage. But this is a young man that is still learning his craft, needs to clearly put on some size, but I think he's shown some really good signs.
Is he?
If you're the Western Bulldogs, Beach, going into next year, knowing that you are around the mark to go again, to keep pushing for this, I don't see Tim English being a better result if he's not at the football club than he is and leaving the sole responsibility to Steph Martin.
Is he a permanent forward? Is it Norton, English, and maybe Shacky? They went with arguably 3 talls, but does he make way? They find another ruckman. Is Laddams an option for the Bulldogs?
Mm. Where do you see, from a trade perspective and where he could fit in and what he's worth, where does this sit, Mitch?
Tim English?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he stays at the Western Bulldogs. West Coast right now would be the one, given Fremantle have got, unless Fremantle see Sean Darcy being the number 1 ruck and then English being the pinch hit, like the Luke Jackson role almost from the weekend, that could be an option. But I just can't see him moving this year. It'd be a matter of whether in 12 months' time one of the clubs in the West want to pay him overs to get him out of the Bulldogs. But that last point you made, Dell, I think if the Dogs are going for the flag this year, it's better to have Tim English on your list than not.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way they should be looking
at it. If Tim English isn't there, then it means Peter Laddams, who's the only other, or maybe a Rory Lobb, and I'm just trying to think of tall people that could fill that void. They are your only two options to come in to play the 2022 season.
Yeah. Unless they look for the next rung down. Is it a Darcy Ford at Geelong? I know we're talking about other names of guys, you know, a Matt Flynn at GWS who hasn't been given many opportunities. Is it one of those guys they think can play a role? A John Segler at Hawthorn with McAvoy and Ned Reeves there. So there are a few of the names.
Mitch, before we let you go, because we know you are doing the next 24 hours of Trade Radio in a row, the Gold Coast Suns, what's the news there?
So I find this really fascinating. Each club can have between 36 and 38 players on their senior list. Gold Coast have 38 on their senior list right now. All of them are contracted for next year. So it means to take the three minimum players required at the draft, they're going to have to delist and re-rookie three of those players. It means those players are going to be open to other clubs in the rookie draft to take them. Then they're going to have to open another spot for Marby or Chole to come in. So the Suns have got four spots they're going to have to vacate just to go to the draft and get Chole in. And then you go to their rookies. Townsend was one, a caller mentioned earlier. They've got extra rookie allowances, the Suns, because of the extra list sizes. But it's a really fascinating one with what happens with Townsend, Dunstan, these sort of guys that are being linked to the Gold Coast Suns. They're going to be a big watch over the next 2 weeks.
Is there a salary cap issue still up north, or are they in a better position?
I think they're in a better position now, but there's always going to be a salary cap issue when you're paying South Australians like Lukosius, Rankin, Victorians like King, Rowell, Anderson, Overs to keep them. It's just the nature that they have to deal with.
We appreciate your time, Mitch. That's all the latest in regards to the trade news. This is for Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental.